Any update on Jason Kelce?
Yeah, I just saw Kelce. I have not met with the doctors or the trainers, but I just saw Kelce in the hallway. He's going to have sports hernia surgery. I don't know how long he'll be out for, but I'll get that when I meet with the doctors and trainers later on this afternoon. But I just saw Justin. Just saw Jason a little couple minutes ago in the hallway. So,
Jeff, Perry Williams said that there were several players who agree with him based on his complaints about practice habits. And like, do you get that sense that that's the feeling with the other players in the locker room? Or
no, and I know we ask our guys to run a lot during practice. I met with Kerry just a little while ago. He came in on his own today to visit with him, and I think he was frustrated. And I understand that Kerry's a competitor, and I have no issues with Kerry.
You mentioned that he was, like, the only one. And I was just wondering, do you find that to be true? I mean, you've talked a lot about players buying into it, and do you still feel that that's
the
case?
Yeah, we assess everybody daily, so they all we monitor every player daily, so it's all done on an individual basis. And you'll see some guys that aren't going full on a day, and other guys that are going full, and it's all done on an individual basis. So, and we take care of everybody from that standpoint. So,
you brought up his age, and I wondered when you said that. You had Oregon, you had UNH. Do you factor that?
Yeah, we factor everything, and we look at every player as an individual. So, what we do with Trent Cole is different than what we do with Marcus Smith. What we do with D'Amico Ryans is different than what you do with Casey Matthews. It's all, and every player on a daily basis with the strength coaches, when they get here in the morning, we sit down with every guy and where are you? What do you need? What is it? Is it a hamstring? Is it a hip? Is it a shoulder? Is what? Because everybody is different, and there are a wide variety of ages. You have guys in their 30s, but you also have guys fresh out of college. So we're aware of that, and that's how we've always handled it.
The second-half score in 94 to 24, I believe, do you think that's related to the way you practice?
I think that's part of it. You know, I think part of it is we also haven't gotten off to a great start either, so I think it's a combination of both. So,
when you say he was frustrated at the way he played, his hamstring?
I think he's frustrated. Kerry's just a competitor, and I think he always wants to play a perfect game. He always wants to make a perfect play, and I think he'll tell you he just got frustrated. So.
Does it bother you that he went to the media with this complaint instead of meeting with
No. You guys are everywhere. It really doesn't. So that's the world we live with.
But if he was feeling that way about your practices, would you rather him come?
Yeah, I told him he can come talk. But I think he knows that. I think he also understands in some places you can't go talk to the coach. My door's always open. Anybody can come talk to me. So.
The production from the running game, was it a combination factor with sort of the mix and match with the offensive line of the Yakuan, or was it that the Skins were just not going to let you run the ball?
It was kind of both. I think they were a lot closer to the line of scrimmage than a lot of other teams that face us. But obviously, if you do that, you open up some things in the passing game. And then we really, you know, when we got down there at the end, the only starting lineman we had left was Todd Hermans, who's actually playing another position. Todd ended up out of tackle at the end of the game. So it's, you know, really trying to – you talk about always getting the same guys on the same page and continuity and all those other things. And then there's a lot of different people thrown in there. So, but I give Washington credit. They did a really nice job up front. They and I said that going in. I thought that front seven that they had was going to be a real big test for us, and it was.
Did that force you to have a little bit different game plan, knowing that, than you did against Indianapolis, where maybe you key a little more with tight ends and backs?
I think we always have a game plan based upon how people play us. So if you're going to try to take one aspect away, then hopefully we have enough where we can do something somewhere else. And there's going to be games, and I said it the other day, there's going to be games where the receivers are in the forefront. There's going to be games where the running backs are in the forefront. There's going to be games when the tight ends are in the forefront. And it's really what you hope and what we do have. We feel like we have weapons at each position so that if we get in those situations, you just can't say. And I've been there before where you say, hey, we take this away from you. You take that away from me, we lose because we don't have another option. I think right now we have other options. So,
given the offensive line, do you plan on, like, signing somebody or how do you plan?
I haven't gotten the how long, so that's the biggest thing, you know, and I don't know till I talk to Chris and Dr. DeLuca exactly how long Jason will be out, so there hasn't been any discussions in terms of what we're doing there. So
would you be with maybe Wade Smith? He's played some center. I mean, like, can he still, is that still,
yeah, Wade's taking some snaps there. He would have been our third center on Sunday, so he was the next center if we had something with Dave. So again, I don't know anything else besides just running into Jason in the hallway, so I don't have a timetable on anything to be able to say this is our next step in terms of where we're going to go with this. So,
given the injuries and the Given the injuries and the fact that you haven't had much continuity, what's your level of concern with the line right now?
I don't have a level of concern. Just tell us who we got that's available to play, and let's go play. So,
what has Moak shown you both at guard and center since he's been in there?
He's a competitor. You know, I think he's extremely quick off the ball. You know, so he can do a he really gets into the defender very quickly. He'll fight you. You know, he's a tough, competitive guy in there, and he'll scrap and give you everything he's got. So, in the games he's gotten in, whether it be at guard or at center, I think he's really competed when he was out there. So,
the fact, if I have to follow up, the fact that he didn't play at all last year, I mean, is he going to get better and better as this year goes along? Because I mean, he just hasn't played much.
We hope so.
The expectation, is that?
Yeah, that's the expectation. I think you're all a byproduct of your experience, so the more chances he gets out to get on the field, the better I think he should be. So,
the starters talk about the value Kelsey brings in terms of communication. Mm-hmm. How's Moak in that area?
Moak's good. You know, he's not Jason right now just because he doesn't have the experience in our system. Jay's only been here a year. Moak's only been here a year, and Jason's been here, you know, was here longer and was through the whole system a year. So, obviously, Jason's ahead of him from that standpoint. But Moak's a smart football player, and he understands what's going on out there. So, Les?
Yeah, kind of the same thing is Kelsey makes all the calls. Are you
every center makes all the calls, so, yeah, so that's kind of what our system is built on.
Doing it.
Yeah.
How did that go yesterday?
We didn't have any issues when Moak got in the game. So, you know, and that's our system is driven that way. Our center makes the calls in terms of setting the front and making the directions in terms of where we're going, and that's how they're all trained. So when the first guy's down, the second guy has got to take over. So
this morning on the radio, when you were asked about the Peters going after Baker, and you know, you've always talked about young players, again, playing with motion, et cetera, but you didn't answer. So I wasn't sure how to take that. I mean, is that something in that situation where you understand where he's coming from and you want your guys to defend, especially their quarterback, or do you feel like it probably was not the right thing for him to do with that situation?
Next question.
Sproles had no carries after the fumble. Yeah. Those two events related?
No, not at all. No, it was one of those days. We really did not do a good job. We were struggling running the football, so it wasn't one of those things. We threw the ball to him. He had a big catch for us, and you know, back across the middle. So it was never anything where it was, hey, let's take him out because he fumbled the ball. We're not going to let him run it again. I still get no questions about it. He made a great move, popped into the secondary. We were moving the ball down the field, and ball got away from his body a little bit and got hit from behind and put the ball on the ground. So,
Curtis said he was expecting help on that 81-yard throw to Jackson.
Yeah, we should have had post safety help on that. So, but he also said he should, and at least the way he explained it to me, he also said he should have made the tackle. So he wasn't trying to make excuses for that it got into the end zone, but he was expecting we should have had a post safety on that play. So,
understand that your game plan is predicated on what the other guys can try to take away from you. But when you have a situation like the line going into this week, does that come into factor too? Hey, we might not be able to do as many things as we would like to as well. And you have to focus a little bit more on what you're going to be able to do.
Yeah, it's always that. It's a combination of what are we able to do? You know, what do we have the skill set to do? And what are we good at? But then how are they defending you? So it's always the same. You know, it's a combination of the two. So you'd say, hey, we're going to be a big sweep team this week because both guards are up and they do a great job pulling and getting to the perimeter. But if both those guards are down and they're hurt, then maybe that changes it. Maybe that play doesn't make it into the game plan that week. But, you know, in terms of the run pass and some of those things, who's open, some of those things, that's kind of sometimes that depends on are you facing man, are you facing zone? That's where some of that stuff comes in.
How is Michael Kendricks doing?
I haven't seen Michael today. You know, I know he was out last week, and again, it's I know he's it's a muscle, so I don't know how long it's going to be. It's he tried to do some things last week, and then obviously didn't get out. wasn't a full participant. Was out every day in practice. So we'll see how it goes this week, and it'll still be a day to day thing with him. So,
what are your thoughts on McCoy's production so far? Understanding that teams are keying on him, but it seems like they were keying on him last year as well. So what's
yeah, I think it's different how they're playing us this year. We've seen some different looks in terms of the three games we played this year compared to last year. So, I think LeSean's doing everything possible, and again, if that's how you're going to do it, and we're going to end up with, you know, with 30 whatever points a game and continue to be productive on the offensive side of the ball, it's ultimately that. But there's also you're down four linemen that you had that were running in front of them last year too. So I think, you know, sometimes when we're running a play, there's a lot better push at the point of attack, you know, and that really doesn't have anything to do with the running back from that standpoint. That's just, you know, it's kind of is what it is right now. So
which way is it different
that we have four new linemen up there.
Defenses are defending you.
Some teams are. You know, we've seen it changes from game to game. Against Jacksonville, we saw more zone than we ever saw. You know, in the game last week, they started off in zone and then went to all man. You know, and they stayed in base front even though we were in usually trying to get nickel personnel in there in 11. They stayed in base front. A lot of people played us a lot more nickel. They decided to play us in base. So but if you're going to play us in base, it's difficult to cover in the pass. So, you know, it's really kind of picking what they want to do. So.
Do you think Chris Polk's been so productive with limited touches. Do you find yourself trying to think, how can we get him going on offense, maybe get him involved?
We were just happy to get Chris back, you know, because I think we were excited about him. He had a great offseason for us, you know, in OTAs and in mini camp. He was really a guy that we were really excited about. And then all of a sudden he went down. I don't know if it was the second or third day of camp. And then he was out. You know, and wasn't even active for the first game. So it was just, I'm happy to get him back. He's had a couple good weeks of training here. You know, when we talked about it, Coach Phipp was one said, hey, I think maybe we could try Chris as a returner. We had trained him there last spring, but really never got a chance to do any of that in camp because he was hurt. So it was just a matter of getting him acclimated and getting back in. And then obviously the way we were running the ball yesterday wasn't a situation where we were thinking about, hey, let's get another running back in there, because obviously we didn't get many touches for Darren either, so it was just one of those days. But obviously when Chris has had a chance to get the ball in his hands, he's been productive for us.
Marcus Smith has had 16 snaps yesterday. How did he do in that time? It was a position that was
It was new to him. He just, you know, just started practicing there, got 3 days under his belt. And I thought he was solid in terms of what he did. He did a nice job a couple of times covering a tight end. Once he gets stuck on a tight end, they were in a shallow cross. He did a really nice job on it. So for the limited exposure he had at the position, the ability to go in and play 16 snaps and kind of hang in there, he did a really good job. Now how do we build upon that? And obviously because of where we are at inside linebacker, not knowing what Michael's situation is, I think we'll have to train him there again at least at the beginning of this week and then kind of see where Kendricks is in terms of kind of bringing him along. So.
Do you think the defense is getting enough pressure even though they haven't had sacks in the last two games?
You know, you always want to get the sacks, but I think we hit their quarterback, you know, and I think Trent hit him four times. You always wish you had more production. You know, it's the same thing, but I think sometimes when you look at just the sheer stats, you can say, hey, you're not getting enough production. You know, if you look at the end of the day and look at the stats on the other side and say, we didn't have any sacks. We didn't give up any sacks, but they certainly hit our quarterback and got to him. And you know, it's sometimes you get there, sometimes you don't get there, but can you get him off his spot? Can you change where he's throwing the football? Can you cause an incompletion? That's just as good at times as getting the sack and getting the quarterback down. So.
In Boykin's case, you say that's a starting spot, but he's playing 30-40% of the snaps. Is there anything that can be done to get him on the field more?
Right now, it's we're looking at that as a starting spot, and that's how it looks in terms of people playing 11 personnel and 12 personnel with us. So, you know, it really depends on what's going on from an injury standpoint if we were going to get him anything out wide.
After watching the film, do you think that was Nick's best game overall?
This year?
Not overall.
Oh, overall? In the 10 he played last year and this year? I think the Raiders game wasn't too shabby. I mean, set an NFL record.
This was tougher though, right? I mean,
yeah, it was a tougher game. I mean, he was in a fight out there. I mean, it was obviously a different opponent, a different thing. But, I mean, it just depends on what you're looking for. I mean, I think it was his best game, and that's the one thing I've seen with Nick. You saw it last year. As he got better, I thought he got better each week. I thought he got better, you know, from game one to game two to game three. So, you know, we're excited to go see what he can be like in game four.
As Tobin gets healthy here, where are you looking at?
Where are we looking for him to help? Anywhere. Right now, up front. I mean, we don't have a lot up there, so it's not. I don't know where the rest of the situation is, but we'll sit down and see where he is and fits in. But you know, he can play a couple multiple positions. It's just really, we haven't met on it. You know, we just watched the game film as a staff, but we haven't met on where we're going with San Francisco. But we'll go from there. So,
what was your opinion of the Baker hit? And did you think
it's a penalty?
Warranted more than just a penalty?
I don't control that, so I don't worry about that. But it was a penalty. There's no question about it. You can't hit a defensive player, so the referees called it the right way, and he was ejected from the game. So.
Any concern that Peters might get suspended for throwing the punch?
I haven't heard anything, but I don't think so. I don't know if they do that. So.
What were the issues in coverage in terms of the secondary with so much success Kirk Cousins had?
Yeah, obviously I think credit goes to him. I thought he played an outstanding game. And then the biggest thing was we gave up too many X plays. You know, we didn't get a post safety help on one of the touchdown passes. We got beat on an out and up on a on a third and one. You know, I think we didn't do a, and Billy said it. Billy said, you know, blame the call on the screen pass, and then we didn't really rally down to the play on the big thing. So, you know, we were keeping the ball in front of us. It was a real dink and dunk game, and if it's going to be that type of game, then you got to keep the ball in front of you. You got to do a better job tackling in space. And then, but the biggest concern, well, there were five X plays where we got the ball thrown deep, and that, and we can't allow that to happen. So,
you repeatedly discourage fighting in training camp because of what can happen when people get in it. Was yesterday kind of an exception to the rule because of the way things transpired after the fight?
No, I don't look at it that way.
When you were talking about, I'm sorry, just clarification. You were talking about last week they didn't come out of base. Were you talking about Indianapolis or Washington?
Washington was in base a lot more. They kept both outside linebackers on the field, kept their front seven really intact for a little bit more than they had in the other two games that we played them in last year. So most of the time we played Washington the last two games, they were in nickel a lot more. So
did you find that they're doing that because that's what they want to do, or they're trying to do something to counter what you're doing?
You got to ask them. I don't know. I mean, I don't know why they did it.
I'm just wondering your opinion on it.
I don't know. I mean, that's a good question for them. So. I didn't get a chance after the game to say, can you tell me why you did this to us? And then let me write that down because I think we're going to play again at the end of the year. So,
what needed to happen for McCoy to get back onto the field after the early hit with the concussion protocol?
I guess that's the best way. It's concussion protocol. So they just tell me, all they tell me is a guy is up and a guy is down. So I don't say, hey, what happened in terms of the independent and who, I don't even know who it is, nor should I know who it is. So they just tell us if guys can go or can't go. When they say they're out, they're ruled out, and until they get cleared through the, you know, the concussion protocol, what it is. But I don't have the detailed part of it, just because I probably wouldn't understand it. So it's, I got enough stuff running around in my head that I don't have to worry about what the protocol is. So just tell me if he's cleared, and then they came back and said he was cleared. But I know there's an independent doctor that has to clear him to play, and the independent doctor cleared him to play. So who that is and how that all takes place, I don't really know. I don't have the ins and outs of that. So,
okay.